A new study is showing high consumer appetite for getting broken electrical appliances fixed, but widespread frustration at how hard and pricey it is to do. According to research conducted by Consumer New Zealand as part of their hashtag Built to Last campaign, 98% of respondents thought they should be able to get their washing machines and dishwashers fixed, while roughly 66% said appliance repairs cost too much. Consumer New Zealand also asked what Kiwis thought should happen to appliances once they reach end of life, and around two-thirds said they wanted manufacturers and retailers to be responsible for recycling the dead appliances they make and sell. So should manufacturers make products fixable as a basic principle and do more to design out waste? Consumer New Zealand Chief Executive is John Duffy. Morning, John.
Morning.
So elaborate, please, on the stories you're hearing about the desire for product repairability and the barriers to it.
Yeah, well, we've really struck a chord with the public on this campaign. And we are getting, I wouldn't say inundated, but we're getting a steady stream of people coming forward with, firstly, with examples of their long-lasting appliances, some great stories, which we can talk about later, but also with their frustrations. So people don't like buying an appliance that only lasts 5 years and then they have to throw it away and it goes into landfill. So there's a genuine desire out there, and our research shows that, to prolong the life of appliances. So people want to be able to take their appliance to a repairer, a specialist, or do a repair themselves, so that they don't have to throw their appliance away.
What's stopping it?
Well, there's a number of things. It's complex, but, you know, at a high level, it's the way our markets are structured. So, you know, manufacturers are incentivized to get us to buy ever more products. That's how the system's built. They're not incentivized to allow us to break their products open and make them last longer.
Designed obsolescence.
There are some products that have obsolescence designed in, yes.
And next, what else is the barrier?
Well,
expense?
Cost is a serious one. So because we have a repair industry that has shrunk over time because of the way products are manufactured, the kind of the unit cost of taking an item in to get it repaired is higher because repairers are doing less of that work. So
we've lost some over lockdown, I should say. My favourite second-hand repairers I can think of, you know, those shops with old guys, and they have been, and the ones I've been looking at, you know, older guys who've been in the business for 50 years, yeah. They're always the ones who'll have a random part for you or will make the effort to find it. They didn't survive lockdown, many of them.
Yeah, and that's a real tragedy because we need those people. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we have a deficit of knowledge as consumers and there's very little we can do about it.
But even beyond the second-hand shops, which is a tremendous loss, just your standard, I'm going to ring a plumber to try and fix my dishwasher, or your standard appliance repairer is what, less likely to be able to help you or will charge more?
Both, actually. And the problem that those repairers are facing is kind of black box technology where, you know, you'll be faced with the dilemma as a consumer. The repairer will come round and say, hey, if I open this, I don't know, use an iPhone as an example. If I open your iPhone up, warranty is null and void because I've broken the seal on it. Might be able to put a new battery in it for you if one's available, but you now run the risk if there's any other fault with this product, can't get it repaired
so
under warranty.
So the product's still under warranty that it crapping out, to be blunt, and needing repair. Okay. Apart from breaking the warranty then, or apart from having something that is impenetrable, is it also the case that sometimes the cost of even calling someone out, what is it, normally $90 to get someone to come to the house, isn't it?
Yeah, it usually occurs on a weekend as well, so it's more expensive.
You just make the call to say, I can buy a new one, put it on the tick for 5 years, zero interest, or 3 years, zero interest, I'm just going to do that. Is the price between repair and cost of new out of kilter?
I think so. And that's, again, it comes back to that economics question, right? Because the ability to repair is less frequent than it used to be, the unit cost of getting a repair is higher. But from what consumers are telling us, they don't want to behave that way. They're being forced into this. They want to prolong the lives of their appliances. They want to do the right thing.
Availability of parts. Let's talk about some of those, because this is the thing. I mean, I remember throwing out my mother's microwave and it was 24 years old and it was still going, but we just thought the size of it, we were sure it was spreading radiation throughout the house as well, which I know is an old, long-standing debate. But it was still going. And then when we throw it out, actually, it still wouldn't deconstruct. There are appliances that go and go and go. I was just telling listeners earlier, I've got a 25-year-old dishwasher, more than 25 years old. Simpson Chef Classic, if anyone can help. Have you got one of the same age? I need a part. Electrolux, to their great credit, who mm-hmm. seemed to be the parts supplier, went out back and found the most experienced, you know, people they could find, and they came up with the model, and it's a timer part. I know the model 8914BK, and I know the timer part 858810. But, of course, no one's got it. I've been on Trade Me, I've searched, I've written off to suppliers, I've looked around overseas. 25 years is a pretty good run, isn't it? But are you finding, even for appliances younger than that, you can't find the parts, or we just don't have a second-hand parts system?
So some manufacturers don't make the parts available, which is problematic. We've recently done some testing on stick vacs, which are all the rage at the moment. And, you know, that threw up some really, really interesting results, particularly around battery life. So you've got a rechargeable stick vac, you plug into the wall and the battery charges up. But what we're finding is that for some brands, they're lasting 3 to 4 years and then the batteries are crapping out. And until very recently, for some brands, you couldn't even buy a replacement battery. So you pay over $1,000 for one of these vacuum cleaners, you get 3 or 4 years out of it, and you've got to throw it away. You know, that is crazy. And we think,
is that designed obsolescence again? Is it deliberately made difficult for you to fix something?
Well, it's not actually that difficult to pop a battery off and replace it. It's the availability of the spare parts. So no, that's a rudimentary repair that anyone should be able to do if they can get their hands on the spare parts.
Okay, what are you asking manufacturers to do in response to a very strong consumer demand? What are you asking them to think about and to do?
Well, first and foremost, test your products, work out how durable they are, and actually make a representation so that consumers can go to the shops and go, I'm interested in performance, price, and durability, and I'm going to pick the best product for me based on that criteria. Maybe you're just interested in price, and lots of consumers are. We know that. That's a reality. So maybe you'll forego a longer-lasting appliance because it's so much cheaper. But you should have the ability to make that choice, right? You should be empowered to make that choice. From what consumers are telling us through our surveys, actually 78% of consumers will pay a little bit more for an appliance that's going to last longer. Now, that's heartwarming for me because it means people are willing to think with their kind of environmental conscience.
Also, it's a pain in the butt for your fridge to break down.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a big investment, some of those big whiteware investments, and you might be prepared to make it if you know you can set and forget. Same with dishwashers. What a pain in the butt to try and get them out and fit them in and ovens and all these things. People who can might be prepared to pay, as you say, more to know there will be length of life. So you want that public declaration alongside others, cost, durability, and what about performance? What about replacement options? What needs to happen in that space? Parts options, repair options?
Yeah, so in other jurisdictions, the EU, for example, there's quite firm regulations around the parts that must be made available, and it's international consumer agencies argue for a right to repairability. And the Consumer Guarantees Act has some guarantees for us here in New Zealand, but they're not as comprehensive as we think they should be. So we think there needs to be, because manufacturers aren't playing ball, actually that's a signal there needs to be a stronger regulation to force spare parts onto the market.
Presumably they are required to keep appropriate spare parts for the length of warranty at least. But beyond that,
well, the Consumer Guarantees Act's drafted in a way that kind of requires products to be of an acceptable quality for a reasonable period of time, and that's a little bit nebulous in the sense that it depends on the use you're putting the appliance to. If you've got a washing machine that's doing 3 washes a day versus someone who uses it twice a week, you'll expect one appliance to last longer than the next. So having spare parts to match that use.
So actually the warranty, they will replace it probably more likely if something goes wrong with it, which again is more going to landfill.
Yeah, I mean the warranty's almost irrelevant in a sense because you've got consumer protection law that sits in behind it. Mm. But often people can be befuddled by retailers and manufacturers who might not necessarily know or be willing to reference that law when they're looking at replacing a product or repairing a product.
To the third point, which might also come at the incentives for manufacturers a different way. If they were having to take more responsibility and financial responsibility for end of life of their products, they might have an incentive to make them last a bit longer, right? Mm-hmm. So what are you asking there?
Well, if we manage to achieve step one and we get the information out there, and we're doing a whole lot of testing so that we can provide the information independently as well around durability. But if manufacturers are supplying information and they're held accountable to the representations they made, you know, our product will last 10 years, then we'll see market forces come to play and people will start to seek out longer-lasting products, which will mean manufacturers are then incentivised to manufacture longer-lasting products and they'll be able to market accordingly. So as long as we get that first bit right, the next bit should follow. The market should work.
Do the manufacturers tell you any reasons, logistical reasons, why some of these things are as they are? For example, I understand that you've got a bazillion parts on various appliances. There's only so many you can carry for a certain amount of time. Did they say that is one of the reasons, for example, you know, I mean, 25 years is a very old appliance. I'm still looking for that part, by the way, people. But I'm going to go to the dump shop next, I reckon. Is that part of the reason repairability is an issue, that there's only so much you can carry for a time? And is that a fair argument?
I haven't got a response directly from manufacturers. I know we're talking about manufacturers generally, you know, and manufacturers sit on a spectrum. But, you know, in my observation, it's really just the economics of it, right? In New Zealand, we used to have a whole lot of domestic manufacture going on. We don't have that anymore. So in terms of sourcing spare parts, we're going all over the world to find those spare parts.
And it's not hard these days, though, is it? I mean, we're watching more and more commerce move online. We're buying more and more stuff online, perhaps because we've got a choice. And, you know, I'm looking at more and more stores saying we're going online only. Worked over the months, we can't afford to keep the leases going. That shouldn't be a barrier anymore, should it?
Sure, but at some point you get to a pure economic decision where you go, actually, there's no point in us continuing to manufacture this part because we want this consumer to buy a new product.
See, that's one of the things that's frustrating as the environmental pressures come on as well. We're trying to encourage secondhand markets and things. We do have a good one, thanks to Trade Me and others. We do have a good secondhand market. But it seems appliances, the cost of the new has come down to the point where the buying of the second hand seems marginally less relevant. And we don't even really perhaps have a flourishing market. We have some, but there would seem to be room for more if we could match the repairability, you know?
I agree.
Here I am. I'm quite happy to buy a whole Simpson Chef Classic dishwasher to get the one part I need, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But again, is there just no economics for having that kind of a system rolling?
Well, I think there's a couple of factors at play. I think the economics of it means that manufacturers are constantly wanting to sell new products, you know, constant growth.
But they just become junk, don't they?
And they just become junk, and that's wrong. But we do need to do more to foster our secondhand markets because, you know, we do have differences in wealth in our society. And sure, you might be in a financial position where you can
When I went flatting, it all came from second-hand stores.
Yeah.
Every appliance, the bed, everything. And, you know, I know there is a market. I'm not sure it is as well stocked and as well utilised as it used to be, because what has happened in those years is the price has come down so significantly of new products.
That's true, but also the durability of products has reduced. So not only have you got cheaper new products, you've got products that aren't worth as much in the second-hand market because they're likely to break.
Exactly. Why have a second-hand market if it's going to break?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's finish with some good news, which is some of those old appliances you came across, by the way. What's still going?
Oh, look, we've had so much fun with this and some of the heartwarming stories that have come through of, you know, Kenwood mixers are just perennial. These things are built like tanks and they seem to go forever. So many people who have inherited a Kenwood mixer from a grandma or an aunt or something like that, and they're still going. We've got an ancient Telus vacuum cleaner that was given to me as a 21st birthday gift in 1968. Never been repaired. except for my own handiwork, taping up the hose twice. I mean, it's fantastic. Someone bought a milkshake maker from a dairy that was closing down in Littleton.
Oh, gorgeous.
That had been there for 30 years and it's still going.
Yeah.
Sewing machines, Bernina sewing machines, again, are a regular theme. So many people who've been given appliances as wedding presents in the 60s and 70s and they're still going. It's remarkable.
It's the sort of life cycle of products. It would be, and I'm taking your point on this, and consumer demand, we can always go and say, let's regulate, let's do this, let's do that, but consumer demand is such a force.
That's the most powerful force, yeah.
Great, John. People can find your campaign online, can they?
Yes, consumer.org.nz, Built to Last, it's called.
Thanks very much, John Duffy of Consumer.